We've all felt it before. The pain and the sting of an ongoing trial. And sometimes as we've felt trials in our lives, they can feel almost overwhelming. Maybe if we're even being honest, there's been times that the battle has been so intense for us, we just feel like giving up. Giving in. And letting that trial prevail. Other times, I think almost in frustration or despair, we just want to cry out, "How long, O Lord?" Or maybe you've had this feeling of, "Will this ever end?" When we face something that is really hard in our lives, we tend to fixate on it. And it is sometimes hard for us to look around or through whatever that trial is. I can relate. I've been there. Maybe that describes you, maybe a time in the past or even presently. And I just want to tell you, that doesn't make you a bad Christian. It just means that the trial and the intensity is really hard right now. And that's okay. These trials and these battles that we face, though, are not uncommon to humankind. No, David faced these things too. And it's from these trials that we get Psalm chapter 13. Let me invite you to take your Bibles and open there this morning. Psalm chapter 13. This psalm was forged through intense conflict, the anguish of his soul. Psalm chapter 13 is a classic lament. David writes this psalm to the choir master, a psalm of David. So this psalm that he writes here is addressed for corporate public worship. Although it's an individual lament, it is for the congregation to sing just like we did. How long, O Lord? We don't know specifically when David wrote this or what the occasion was in his life, but if you know much about his life, there are many times that Psalm 13 could have been penned. Maybe on the run from Saul, where enemies want to take his life, or when his son tries to usurp the throne and betrays him. And he's in this deep anguish of his soul. Like David, we too have many seasons of life that call for lament. The causes might vary for each and every one of us, but it doesn't make it any less real. For David, Psalm 13, his lament, he's facing, his struggle is literal enemies who want to kill him. So he's facing the threat of physical enemies who want to dethrone and destroy him, that would glory in the defeat of David. Maybe for you it's something different than that, but no less real. That brings you to the place where you cry out, "How long, O Lord? Will this ever end?" Could be the ongoing trial of the spouse who will not love you back. The grown children that shun you. The grandchildren that you're only allowed to see through pictures on Facebook. The ongoing battle with cancer. The RA that flares up again. Depression. And you say, "How long, O Lord, must I endure this?" That health anxiety that comes back at the worst time. The grief that you bear because you've buried a loved one. And you wonder, is this pain ever going to go away? It's the negative pregnancy test again this month. How long, O Lord, must I bear this pain? The deep pain and shame from the past that continually comes back to haunt you. Rejection after rejection, failed relationship after failed relationship, loneliness, isolation, feeling unseen, the lack of care, and you just cry out, will this ever end? Brothers and sisters, I want you to understand, and I want you to have compassion and sympathy for the person next to you and around you. Every one of us is carrying something. Every one of us is carrying something that when it intensifies, we want to cry out like David, how long, O Lord? So what I want us to see this morning from Psalm 13 is that in seasons of great turmoil, the Lord invites us to bring our pain, petitions, and praise to Him. Look with me at your Bibles, Psalm 13. How long, O Lord, will you forget me forever? How long will you hide your face from me? How long must I take counsel in my soul and have sorrow in my heart all the day? How long shall my enemy be exalted over me? David shows us what to do in seasons of great turmoil. And the first thing that David shows us to do is to bring our pain to God. Bring your pain to God when you feel distant and forgotten. Notice the language of how he begins. How long, O Lord? This is not just I'm having a bad day. No, this is a lot longer than this. And he cries out, am I abandoned, God? I feel forgotten, and I feel distant from you, Lord. Now, I want you to notice here, David is employing a rhetorical device where he asks the question four times, how long? And what he's doing here is signaling deep pain and distress of his soul. Observe this, he is not concerned with polished theological prayers. This is not a theologically accurate prayer, but it is the true expression of his feelings. To summarize Calvin on this, he says, it's not that David had lost faith or that his faith had failed, but the sense of no way out has led him to the thought, God has forgotten me. Long ongoing trials. For those of you that have experienced this, you know it has a way of just breaking you down. That's what's happening here to David, the man after God's own heart. And I wonder, do you pray like this? Do I pray like this? How long, O Lord? And I wonder maybe one reason why we do not pray like this is because we do not know God like this. That we don't know God like David did. Maybe, perhaps, we are too uncomfortable with a God we hardly know. So we stick to neat, tight, polished prayers because that's safety for us. Trite and theologically accurate. We stay formal with God. Friends, I want you to see here, sometimes you might sound like a poor theologian in lament, but be an honest Christian in prayer. God invites that. So first thing we see David do is that in his pain, he goes to the Lord and says, I feel forgotten by you. He also then brings his feelings of despair and defeat before the Lord. How long, he says, Lord, must I feel this sense of despair? He uses this language. How long must I take counsel in my soul? This is the exhausting process of self-directed problem solving. We call this racing thoughts, the anxious mind. And I am guilty of this. I'll be the first to admit it. There are times that I'll be standing in the kitchen and Caitlin will look at me. I'm by myself. And she'll say, who are you talking to? She sees it. And immediately I snap out of it. Like, I have to come back to reality because I have the racing thoughts. I'm taking counsel in my own soul, trying to figure out everything and every conversation. Growing up, my brother was into hamsters. Some people put rodents in a cage and put them in their house. I'm not knocking you. If you like hamsters, I'm not putting you down. Well, he had this hamster, and it was in his cage. And I remember looking at this thing and thinking, what in the world? It'd sleep all day. And then this little hamster would get out of his little bed, and he had this little droplet of water, you know, and he'd go suck on this water. And then he'd get on his wheel, and he'd start running. And he'd start running and running and running. And I'd look at this thing, and I'd get tired watching this hamster run and run and run. And then after a while, brrr, brrr, on the wheel, he'd get off and he'd go hit some more water and he'd get right back on the wheel. This thing's training for the Hamster Olympics or something. I don't know what's going on. It's like, you know, Energizer Bunny, but Energizer Hamster. And I thought about that and how that's often like our racing thoughts. Hamsters on a wheel. Running and running and running and going nowhere. This is what it means to take counsel in my soul. Lots of energy, but not really getting anywhere. How long, he says, shall my enemy be exalted over me? Here's the point. He's saying, God, will this trial ever end? Will there ever be relief? So I want you to see, this is how David brings his pain to God. He brings his honest feelings, and he is seeking answers. And we need to see this, brothers and sisters, as an invitation for how we can bring our pain to God. Do it in two ways, as David does. Express how you feel. In these seasons of deep soul pain and lament, God is not standing in heaven with a theological rubric grading your prayers. Just stop and be honest and be willing to be honest, even if it doesn't sound neat and clean. God knows your heart. There's a spirit that intercedes with groanings that are too, that we don't even understand with our words. So first, express how you feel and don't be afraid. Second, name the source of your pain. David does not speak in generalities here. He's not saying, God, I'm just feeling overwhelmed. Why? I don't know. My enemies are prevailing over me. He is very clear. Name the source of pain before the Lord, because healing begins with honesty before God. But this isn't all David brings here in this psalm. No, he brings his pain, but he also brings his requests to God. Look again, verse 3. Consider and answer me, O Lord my God. Light up my eyes, lest I sleep the sleep of death. Lest my enemy say, I've prevailed over him. Lest my foes rejoice because I am shaken. You see, David brings his needs to God. And the first request that we see here that David brings to God is a prayer for strength. He asks God for strength. He says, light up my eyes. This phrase, it means, David's basically saying, give me strength. Restore to me vitality, because the trial is crushing me. I need strength, or I'm going to fade away. Has the struggle been so real for you in the past that the thought of getting out of bed was tough? You think, God, if you do not give me strength, I'm not even going to get up today. Or maybe you're just going through life, but you are struggling so much that you just feel like you're a carcass. You're numb. There's no vitality. There's no life. You're just going through the motions, trying to survive. This is where David is at. He's got nothing left in the tank. He is on empty. The gaslight is on. He needs to be refueled. He needs strength from the Lord. I could think back on a time in my life. I was 25 years old. That was like nearly 15 years ago. 25 years old, and I was really struggling at that season of my life. There's some of us in here that can remember Quidnesset 15 years ago. I was the only 20-year-old person in this church. And I was really struggling with feelings of despair, loneliness. The Lord was working on my heart. I was doing my construction business. I was working. I felt very dissatisfied with my life. I didn't know what direction I was to go in. And I remember just in my bedroom, in my parents' basement, just like, God, I feel like a loser. I feel like I just don't know what you want for my life. I'm lonely. I don't know. God, I don't want to go on with this. I need something. And I remember multiple nights crying out to the Lord, how long will I have to endure this? How long will I feel this way? What I couldn't see then, I realize now. God was doing something and using that season to teach me, to help prepare me for things that I could never have anticipated. I look back on that season of suffering with fondness, with a sense of thankfulness. You may not see what this season of suffering and difficulty in your life is doing yet, and that's okay. You don't have to see it to bring your requests to God. Just go to Him. Seasons of turmoil, pain, and pleading are often places of preparation that the Lord will use in our lives. You know this because you can now look back over those seasons in the past and you can say, God was teaching me something very, very important there. I learned what it meant to be dependent. It was through suffering and it was through the turmoil that God healed my marriage. It was through this difficulty and this trial that God made me more compassionate. It was through this time and this season that I learned what it means to truly rely upon the Lord as my strength. We can relate to some of these things. Oh, how many had to go into the wilderness before God used them to prepare them. So David, his first request, and in our pain and in our turmoil, we are to go to the Lord and ask for strength. And then he asks for victory. He says in verse 4 here, God, do not let my enemy win. Do not let them rejoice in my defeat. Do not let them say that they have prevailed over me. He says, God, I need strength and I want victory over this trial. This is his request. Friends, we lose the battle when we try to do it without God. Isn't this the history of Israel? Really? Couldn't you in some way summarize the Old Testament history of Israel in this way? They're a prime example. In Numbers chapter 14, they're warned. They said, do not go to the promised land. Do not try to take over the land. And they say, we're going to try to take over the land. And they are warned. They said, don't do this. And they say, we're going to do this. We read in Numbers 14 that they presumed to go up to the heights of the hill country, although neither the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord nor Moses departed out of the camp. So what they did is they said, we're going to go without God. We're going to go without the Ark of the Covenant. We're going to go out without our leader. And we ourselves are going to take over the land. And what happened? They suffered a mighty defeat. Brothers and sisters, we need to hear this. We need to be reminded because the trial and the difficulty is real and it is painful. And sometimes we have a tendency to take counsel in our soul and try to figure this out instead of seeking the Lord for wisdom, for strength, for victory. Remember this, brothers and sisters. Without the Lord, you cannot do it. But with God, all things are possible. The word tells us, greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. The Apostle Paul says that we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. We need the Lord. We need the strength that he provides, the victory that he grants. So in your struggle, in your weakness, bring your requests to God. Ask for strength to go on, to face what is hard. Pray for victory to overcome as you depend upon him, so that God would receive all the glory in and through your trial. I mean, whatever it is, pray like this. Oh God, the song of despair is cranking up once again in my mind. Lord, I need strength for today. Oh Lord, the sadness about my spouse is starting to overtake me once again. Oh God, I need strength to press on. I don't want to lose this battle. I don't want to give up. I don't want to give in. I don't want to give up hope. Oh God, my anxious mind is running on the wheel again. My heart is grieving, oh God. Give me strength, lest that enemy prevail over me. God, consider me and answer me. This is how David prays. This is how God invites us to pray to him. So whatever it is in your life, you need to treat it like tier one triage. It needs emergency attention. Oh, this, I'll just put it off. And you need to focus and bring your requests to God. Bring it to his emergency room. Receive immediate attention. David here will make a final move. He's brought his pain to God. He brings his requests to the Lord. But he does one final thing. He brings all that he has left. He brings his life to God. Look at verses 5 and 6. But I have trusted in your steadfast love. My heart shall rejoice in your salvation. I will sing to the Lord because he has dealt bountifully with me. You're reading this and you think, does David suffer with like multiple personality disorder or something? This does not sound like verses 1 and 2. How does he go from how long, O Lord, how long, I don't have anything left, will this ever end, to I'm trusting in your steadfast love? He's depending upon the Lord here. He's bringing his life to God here. Now, here's the sticking point. For some of us, to bring our pain to God is not hard. We could say, check, we got that. For others, it's not hard for us to bring our requests to God. That's not that hard to do, because we know that God sees all things, God knows all things, he knows us, he sees us. So clearly, he knows my pain, he knows my struggle, he knows my trial, and he knows my need. That's not hard to do. All you have to do is be a little transparent. God, you know all these things, so let me bring them to you. But what about bringing your life to God? This requires something more than just transparency. In fact, it requires complete vulnerability. And this is what makes us uncomfortable. Because to be completely vulnerable before the Lord, you have to give up control. And that's a challenge. Transparency, fine. God already knows. But look how David brings his vulnerability in his life before the Lord. He does so in two ways. He brings his trust to God. We are willing to be vulnerable before the Lord when we bring him our trust. He says, but I have trusted in your steadfast love. It's easy to trust God when everything goes well. It's easy to sing when things are going well. or when things are just kind of fine. When the seas are calm, I will sing. I will trust the Lord because my life is pretty easy and routine, and as long as it stays that way, everything's good, thank you God, right? But when we hit the rough waters, when the trials come, when the pain is real, that's oftentimes what reveals our trust, where our trust is. Because in pain, we cling to our idols. We cling to what brings us comfort. So let me ask you, in your deepest, in your darkest of moments, where do you go? To whom do you trust? What is it that you cling to for hope and comfort? The person with an addiction goes to their addiction. The independent strong man turns over and says, I will rely on myself and my self-sufficiency. The battered woman goes to anybody that will give her attention. The broken are drawn to anything that promises comfort. We see it, and it's such a cycle of sadness in our world today. Seeking hope, seeking comfort in all the wrong things. David goes to the source of all comfort. In his pain, he turns to the Lord. Friends, you can trust God. It's that simple. You can turn to God and you can trust Him. You can bring your trust and lay it completely before the Lord. He will not burn you. He will not fail you. He will always be there. David says, I have trusted in your steadfast love. This is my favorite word in the Hebrew Bible, in the Old Testament, steadfast love. This is hesed, H-E-S-E-D, as it's translated. This is God's unfailing, always showing up, always abiding, loyalty, never departing, faithfulness to his promises and his love for his people. English people don't know how to translate this, so we call it steadfast love in the ESV. Other translations call it loving kindness or steadfastness. What he's talking about here is the God who is always there and never ceases to love and to care for his own. I have trusted in this. There's no greater thing you can trust in this life than the steadfast love of the Lord. His mercies are new every morning. Great is his faithfulness. To trust in anything other than this is to trust in something less than this. So in our vulnerability, we bring our trust to the Lord. We bring our hearts to the Lord. When you give someone your complete trust and your heart, you have given them everything. David says, my heart shall rejoice in your salvation. The only human example that I can even think of would be my wife, Kate. I have given Kate all of my trust, all of my heart. I have no more trust or heart left in me to give her. She owns it all. I am completely vulnerable and seen. And this is what David does. He says, God, I've given you everything. And what is the result? What is the result here of David's vulnerability before the Lord? Rejoicing. This is why he sings. Friends, sometimes we have really, really hard days. And what we need to do on those days is that we need to put the song of salvation on repeat and turn the volume up. This is how David goes from how long, O Lord, to I will sing of your salvation. He plays the song and he cranks the volume. You ever been in the car and maybe your favorite song comes on the radio up front? There's people in the back that are talking, but you just want to hear your song? Yes. So what do? You turn it up. You turn that volume up because you want to drown out the noise behind you. This is what David is doing. He is cranking the volume, and this is what we need to do, because sometimes we need to drown out the song of despair behind us, and we need to turn the volume up on the song of salvation. So that when you have those feelings of despair and you're saying, will this ever end? Turn the volume up. You have loved me, O God, with an everlasting love. You have set your love upon me through no good thing or anything that I've ever done. You have loved me through, in and through the person and work of Jesus Christ. And today is a bad day for me, but Jesus is my Savior. My salvation is secure in Him. So even on my worst of days, the hope of heaven is still in my heart. Amen. Turn up the song of salvation, so that we can, like David, sing through turmoil. When the tears just want to flow because you don't want to do it anymore, sing the song of salvation. In the trial, through the storm, we can all say these words: I will sing to the Lord because He has dealt bountifully with me. Jesus Christ is my Lord and my Savior. On this solid rock I stand, and it is all of God's grace to me. What song do you play? What song is on repeat? So Psalm 13, it invites you and it invites us to bring all that we are to God and to sing the song of salvation. And we can do this. And we can do this well because Jesus faced Psalm 13. Take Psalm 13 and apply it to the life of your Savior. Did He not on the cross cry out, my God, why have you forsaken me? God, I feel abandoned in this moment. In Christ's pain, He felt the abandonment. The author of Hebrews tells us that in the days of His flesh, He cried out with loud cries and tears to Him who was able to save Him from death in the garden. Did He not drop to His knees and sweat as though drops of blood and say, Father, let this cup pass from me? He's bringing His request to God, but He says, nevertheless, not my will, but your will be done. Luke tells us, and He was strengthened. He was strengthened to face the enemy head on. Jesus walked out of the Garden of Gethsemane, the victor, who for the joy that was set before Him endured the cross, despising the shame. Peter tells us of our Savior that He always had His heart and His trust in the Father. In His trial, Jesus continually entrusted Himself to Him who judges justly. So there was never for one moment that He failed in these things. Jesus brought His pain to the Father. Jesus brought His request to the Father. Jesus submitted His life to the Father. But there's a difference. Jesus doesn't sing the song of salvation. Jesus is the song of salvation. He endured all of this so that you could sing this song. He faced the agony of the cross. He faced the feelings of pain and separation. He was counted to be sin who knew no sin, so that you might become the righteousness of God. This is the song to be on our lips forever. Jesus is our salvation. So what David trusted in from afar, through types and shadows, brothers and sisters, we see clearly now in the person and work of Jesus Christ. Jesus who died for sinners so that we could live with hope, we could live with victory in this life and also in the life to come. So back to the original question. Will this ever end? The sermon, yes. The trials, the pain, Psalm 13 doesn't give us that answer. And the truth is, some Never will in this life. But remember, we have a God who invites us to draw near to Him, and we have a Savior who can sympathize with our weaknesses, and that's enough. So in your affliction, draw near to Christ. Draw near to the lover of your soul. Make the song of salvation the song of your heart. Because really, yes, actually, one day, this will all be over. And we will be all the better because of it. The Apostle Paul says, "For I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worth comparing with the glory that is to be revealed to us." In light of eternity, brothers and sisters, these are light momentary afflictions. That's not to minimize it. It's real, and the pain is real. And there are times we want to cry out, "How long, O Lord?" But Jesus has given us the hope of heaven for all eternity. So friends, we're going to make it. Amen. We're all going to make it. We're going home. And the one to whom we clung to in faith through these deep and dark trials of life, we will see Him. Amen. We will behold Him. And we will cling to Him on that day. And we will say thank you. Thank you, Jesus, for everything. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for the ministry of comfort that your word brings and how it deals with us as human beings facing trials and pain and difficulty. Oh God, I pray for each and every person in this room with whatever they are going through, that Psalm 13 would cause their eyes to gaze upon Jesus. And that the song of salvation would be upon their hearts, my heart, our hearts, as we navigate this journey and this pilgrimage together. And at times we are the afflicted saints. May we continually draw near to Christ. In Jesus' name, amen.